Ask, Lord, that you would move me out of the way today, Father God, and that, Lord, the words that would come from me would be from you today. So we thank you again, Lord, that we get to be here and hear your ordained word today, Lord. And we just say, let it have its effect in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Who has the clicker? Out of curiosity. Aha, there it is. I've got a few PowerPoints today to use just as an example. So first, our main scripture today, and you can stick your hand there and put a piece of paper there to hold it so we can go back and forth, because we'll definitely be going back and forth to it, is in Matthew. And it's Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Who knows that we're in a time of building? God is moving our church, our body, forward. There's going to be some new things happening. Some people are taking new positions. We're going to have new teachers. I can't wait to see all the new teachers that show up for our teachers meeting. I know Becca can't wait. There's an excitement. And God is in a time of building. God is ready to begin fulfilling the word that was prophesied and has been set forth, not only for this ministry, but for each and every individual life in this room. God wants to fulfill it. He's called you to it. He's set it apart. It's anointed. He's ready to begin fulfilling that thing. So how many people do we have in the room today that are willing vessels and ready for God to begin fulfilling what he's called you to do? All right, so we got willing vessels. That's an important part. As I was praying after we've had a few of these meetings about the things that are happening and the changes, God we know it's coming, that when good things begin to happen, when the Spirit begins to move, what is the first thing that happens? Adversity, storms. Satan sees what's coming, sees the mobilization, sees what's going to happen, and so he starts rounding up the troops. And he starts trying to plot and devise ways in which he can subvert what God is going to be doing. And so I began to pray to the Lord and just ask him, all right, Lord, we got intercessor prayer warriors. We're going to pray. We're going to take things back. We're going to proclaim things. What is it that we need to do, Lord, so we can weather the storm? Now I know that God will raise up a standard for me whenever Satan tries to come in like a flood. He tells us that in his word. Satan will try to come in like a flood, and God will raise up a standard before me to stop the flood. But we're going to go through some things. It's going to happen. I was reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16. And Jesus, you can just write that down. I'm not going to read it. Jesus likened us unto lights. And he talked about the fact that we're not to hide our light, that we're to be the lights of the earth, and that our light will bring glory to God. And as I was praying and reading about that, Many of you know, I'm a beach guy. I spend a lot of time in the water at the beach. I enjoy the beach. And the Lord speaks to me pretty clearly down there most of the time. And so he immediately brought into my mind two lights that I'm very familiar with. Two different lighthouses. The one on the left is one that I grew up around in Southern California, and it's at Point Loma. And that lighthouse, if you look, you can see, where is that lighthouse built? It is set above the city on a hill where the light can be seen. And not only above a city and on a hill, if you've ever been to Point Loma, it is on a rock. It is a solid rock. The one on the right is another one that I know well. That is Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. I know probably there's quite a few people here who have been to the Outer Banks. I see it on your Facebook accounts. And if you look at that lighthouse, there's a problem. In fact, that lighthouse is no longer where it's sitting in this picture. Because the foundation of the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse had to literally be dug up and moved because it was built on shifting sands. As the storms have come and the waves have come, the very foundation that that lighthouse was built on has eroded to the point where they had to pick that thing up, put it on rollers, and move it inland like a mile to get it away. And so God, when he put these two pictures, these lighthouses in my mind, he immediately said, what's the difference? You're to be a light. You're to be set upon a hill. You're to be founded on the rock. God's word tells us we're going to face storms. Just because we've accepted the Lord as our Savior does not mean life is going to be easier. It means Satan is now out to get you. And it means he's going to try every day to do anything and everything that he can do to disrupt you doing what God has called you to do. He doesn't want to see it happen. Rick, he doesn't want to see God fulfill his work in you. Satan wakes up every day and thinks, Rick, what can I do to get Rick today? What can I throw at Rick to shake him? What can I do to bring storm? What can I do to cause his focus to leave what God's called him to do and to put it on other things? Satan's waiting on us. Your feet hit the floor and Satan's like, all right. John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. The key there is he's overcome the world. But while we're here, we're going to face tribulation. In 2 Corinthians 11:26, just write that down. Paul lists all the adversity that he had gone through. He's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's listing everything that he's been through. He's been to jail. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. All these things that have happened to him. And God used them all for good. But man, those were trials and tribulations. He had to face the storm. Now, if Paul had had a foundation that had been built on shifting sands, this is what his house would have looked like. This is what happens. All those beach houses that are so beautiful that cost lots and lots and lots of money down along the Outer Banks, I've surfed among their wooden planks as they float by. Because as the winds come and the seas come and the hurricanes come, they wipe away the sand. Interesting fact for all of you Outer Banks lovers, the Outer Banks is actually moving. Every year, the sand is taken from the one side and shifted because of the water current and put on the inside. So eventually, there will be more Outer Banks. The bay will be gone, and it'll just be a coastline. It's shifting. There's sand. It comes and goes with the tide. And if your house is taken, that's all you got left. You're sitting on your front porch waiting on a boat. The ark's not coming. So we want to do what? Here's what the Lord put on my heart. This is what he said to me. I am a master builder. I am a wise builder. And I will not build upon faulty foundation, because the storms will come, and what I build must stand firm, must stand the test of time. See, Jesus was a carpenter. When he talked to his, when he told the disciples his parable of the builder, he knew from experience what it meant to have a solid foundation. And he knew that if he built a table or a chair and the foundation wasn't solid, it wouldn't stand the test of time. And so the Lord really just put upon my heart that it's time that we focus our attention on our foundation for a minute. It's time that we give him something to build upon. God gave us a free will, and he loves us so much, but that free will gets us in trouble. That free will allows me to play video games instead of get into his word in the morning. That free will allows me to turn 100.7 on my radio instead of 102.9 and praise and worship him. That free will gives me an open door. And so I have to make a choice to make him the priority, to make him the building blocks of my life. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the only one that can be the foundation. If you're standing on anything but the rock of Jesus Christ, you are standing on shifting sands or nothing at all. That's just truth. That's just truth. And so he pounded this into my head over a couple of weeks. What it meant to have a foundation. So we're going to jump into the nitty-gritty here. And I'm actually going to use our building here and a couple other pictures to give you a picture of what it means to lay the foundation. When we raise our hands and we come up and we give our heart to the Lord, we have just scratched the surface. That decision that you just made was the decision, this is my land, and it's a rock, and this is where I'm going to build. But that's all you've done. You're now standing on a rock, and it's a good place to stand. Much safer than standing in sand. But there's still some other processes that we have to go through so that our foundation is built in to the rock. When Pastor Carl was praying, along with many of you, where to build this church, he was taken to all sorts of buildings all over the valley. I remember we came up to visit from Atlanta while they were going through that process, and we'd drive by, and he'd be like, we went and looked at that church, and we went and looked at that church, and we went and looked at that church. And Lord, just these beautiful churches that someone was going to buy for him. And Lord wouldn't let him. And so they prayed and prayed, and God brought him to this piece of land. So the first thing, and I'm not going to dwell on these first two, we're going to get to the actual foundation, but the first thing you have to do is make a choice. Am I going to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ? And there may be somebody here today who hasn't made that decision. That's such an important decision. And today I pray that the Lord reaches you and you understand that, man, there is nowhere else to stand but on the rock of Jesus Christ. We were upstairs praying. And Mel, man, I love you, brother. I can't even tell you how much. And he just prayed this sweet prayer. And it talked about our joy coming from the fact that he died on the cross and that he rose again for our sins. That's what he did for us. That's what enables us to stand on a solid foundation, is that he gave his only begotten son for you and I, so that if we believed, we would have eternal life. So we make a choice. And right now, many of us have made the choice and we've chosen, hey, I'm going to stand on the rock. I know there's no other place for me, so I'm going to stand on the rock. And we find the land. Pastor Carl found this land. There's some pictures in his office, if you'd like to go look at them, of all the different, it's like phases of when things were built. They've surveyed the land. They know where the building wants to go. They know where they need to put it. And then there's another step. You still can't build just on that. If you start putting together wood and just putting things together, you know what happens? You're still not built into the rock. You're just on top of the rock. We want to be built in to the rock. So it requires something. This is some hard one. It requires repentance. It requires some digging. It requires going deep and digging out and clearing out and leveling our life. Because even if you find a rock and you build on top of the rock, most rocks are going to do this, right? So we want to be a part of it. We don't want to just be on it. I want me and the rock to become one. And so I've got to get rid of some junk. I've got some old trees on my property that need to be gone before God can do what he wants me to do. Those roots run deep. It could be pornography. It could be video games. It could be TV. It could be anger. It could be alcohol. There's a whole bunch of big trees that are on my property that in order for the house that God wants to build in my life, in order for me to be what God has called me to be, I have to get rid of those trees. And it's painful. And it takes work. But we have to dig them up. And that's repentance. That's digging that stuff up and pulling it out. When they built this church, it wasn't easy. You know what they had to use before they put the foundation on this church? Dynamite. Right, Quentin? Right? Blew up some stuff, didn't they? Because do you know what this church is founded on? A rock. If you go into our basement, which I would encourage you to do because we're trying to get our children a new place so that we can fulfill what God's called them into and so that we can serve them better, go into our basement. I tell you what, you know who would be a joy to take you and give you a whole entire little tour? Talk to your pastor after church. Pastor, I'd like to see what our basement looks like. Let him go give you a tour. And then have him walk you to the back corner. And as you walk to the back corner, it goes concrete, 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 and all of a sudden, there is a big, gigantic rock. They couldn't even get rid of it. They blasted as much as they possibly could, and then they just couldn't do anything about it. Because our church is literally founded on a rock. The floods can come, and they may take a whole lot of other stuff around, but this church isn't going anywhere physically or spiritually because it's founded on a rock. And we need the same thing in our lives. Right? God said it. He's a builder. And if you're a wise builder, where do you build your church? Where do you build your house? Where do you put your life? You build it on the rock. So we've dug it up, and now we have to build. This is where the rubber meets the road for many of us. Jesus Christ is the foundation. That's 1 Corinthians 3:11. I'll go ahead and read it for you. You can follow me there if you'd like. This is 1 Corinthians 3:11. I'll start in 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another has built thereupon. I want to be a wise master builder. And in order to do that, man, I have to lay the foundation so Christ, so God can then come and build on my foundation what he wants me to be. As I was doing this, the Lord gave me a picture. Christy and I in our house in Atlanta. We're unwise in some areas with our finances down there. And one of the things that we did was we decided granite countertops. A couple of our friends went and got them, and we were like, man, we got to have those. I want granite countertops. Those are awesome. I can just put cookies on them. I can chop stuff on them. Nothing happens. Granite, they're pretty. They're great. But if my foundation isn't solid, guess what granite countertops do for me? Nothing. Man, those beautiful chandeliers, I want one of those in my living room. That chandelier is great, but it's going to last a real short period of time if your foundation isn't solid. See, we can chase glory around. We can chase this speaker, and we can chase that speaker, and we can chase this convention, and we can chase that convention. And every single time, what tends to happen when our foundation isn't solid is that what we go get doesn't last. Because we haven't built what is most important. I don't care what contractor you go talk to, what builder you go talk to, what architect you go talk to. If you ask them what is the single most important part of a building, they will tell you it is the foundation. Because if the foundation is not built solid, if the foundation is not built correctly, the rest of the building will fail. We had some friends not too long ago. They're here. And they had got a house. And they went and had the house put on the foundation. And the foundation wasn't right. And they couldn't even open the doors. Their cabinets didn't work. Their windows wouldn't open and shut. Because their foundation was not, it wasn't flat. It wasn't even. It wasn't solid. I talked to the guy and he's like, yeah. The guy came out and told us what was wrong. And he said, the foundation's supposed to be built this way. And they were just built this way. The foundation. The rest of the house, they couldn't go into because the foundation wasn't set properly. Many of us are like, all right, God, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go. I want to move in prophecy. I want to move in healing. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do this. And God is asking you today, is your foundation solid? Is it set? Not just set, but built into the rock. I don't just want a house that's set on something. I want it built into it. We should become one. He's in me and I in him. But that requires some things. And as I prayed, God told me, gave me two things. In order for us to know Jesus Christ, in order for that to be the foundation, then we have to be familiar with and intimate with Jesus Christ. And so he said, the word, the gospels of Christ. Go to Psalm 119. Many of you guys may be able to just quote this. Say amen when you're there. All right. Psalm 119, 11 and 16. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How many people know it's real easy to forget stuff you never read? If you've never read it, heard it, seen it, you've already forgotten. Right? Ignorance is bliss. Well, I didn't know. That's what it's saying right here. We're to meditate on his precepts. We cannot forget his word. Where do we find his word? Somebody raise their Bible. In the word. In order to not forget it, I have to meditate upon it. I have to meditate on it day and night. So many of us have built a shaky foundation, and all we've done is what is just to get by. And so then, when the storms come and our foundation shakes a little bit and it creaks and it strains and it might even move a little bit, Lord, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why is it, what? I don't understand. And God says, is your foundation set on me? When that storm came, where did you go? Did you call your brother? Did you call your mom? Did you go to your doctor? Or did you pick up your word? And did you go to a scripture that has a promise of what I can do for you? Did you read that I'll deliver you out of all things? Because when your foundation is set upon Jesus Christ, when it's set upon the rock and it's set upon the word, man, when those winds come, your foundation is set and you immediately know where to go. Oh, I've got a scripture for that. When Satan jumps on your mind, you know who your battle is with. It's him. It's Satan. You know you've got a battle in high places. When a person comes and attacks you, you know that God's word tells you that it's not against flesh and blood, but against the prince, the powers of the air, in high places that we battle against. And so when that person offends you and you look at them, you're not tempted to get angry at the person. Your thought process is, I'm going to go home and pray. And that spirit that just tried to jump on me is going to stop. And you can look that person in the eye, your brother or sister in Christ, and say, I love you. Because you know good and well, it wasn't them. That's what having a foundation is. It's having a knowledge of God's word. I was talking, Becky was in here earlier, and her request for me today was, can you please be a little bit slower in Pastor Carl, because he goes so fast. And my response to her was this, and I want you to hear this, guys, because this is important to honor your pastor and have a respect for that man. He knows so much word that he doesn't have to go look it up. He says a scripture and it comes to his mind and he just spouts it. I wish I could do that. I'm still learning. I have to go look it up when I have it in my notes. A lot of times I have to go find it and read it because I don't want to say it wrong. He's got it in his heart. That's a strong foundation. When Satan comes and tries to rock his house, do you know what he's set upon? The rock. Who cares if he spouts 45 or 50 scriptures on a Sunday morning? Write them down real fast. I do. You should be striving. Your desire in your heart should be to be just like that. Seriously, I want that. I try real hard. I don't have the memory that man has, but through the Holy Spirit, I can remember all things that he's told me and taught me, so eventually I'm going to get there. I just got to lean on the Spirit a little bit more. Second Timothy 2:15. Pages stick together. All right, my pages are sticking together and my hands are sweaty. So I'm just going to tell you what the scripture says. It says that we should study to show ourselves approved. Amen. That we should be workmen who can rightly divide the word of God. That word study, when you look it up, it's not so much an academic study as it is a striving, a desire to show myself approved. How do you show yourself approved? Psalm just told us. By following his precepts, by being true to the word that he's given me, by not forgetting the word of God. I hate to break this to you. You can't get this by osmosis. Putting the Bible on your nightstand doesn't work. I tried it with math books for years. Seriously. At some point, I was like, you know what? If I just set the book there, and I stare at it until I fall asleep. Tomorrow's test, I'll get an A. Did not work. If I didn't study the book out, I wasn't going to get a good grade. If you don't study the book out, your foundation is not built on a strong, solid ground. It is not built on the rock. You can't tell me that if you don't read the Word of God, that you know God. You can't tell me that. Because you know what His Word says in here? This is God. This is where I find out who God is. We can raise our hand, guys, and say, Lord, You're my Savior. And most of us stop right there. Because if we say Lord, that means there's control over my life. And if I say Lord, that means that I actually have to try. And that means I have to pick up the Word. Guys, I know this is tough. This was challenging to me when I heard it. It's not easy. It's not easy. Getting an A in a math class at school isn't easy. It requires work. It requires study. It requires application. And in order for us to build the solid foundation of our life so that God can use us, guys, that's the reason. That's the point. That is the end goal in this message today, is that I want to see every single person in this room used powerfully by God for what He's called you to do. And He can't do it if you don't give Him the right foundation. He can only go so far with you before your foundation can't hold what He wants to lay upon it. We talk about it. He won't give you more than you can handle. If you've built a solid foundation, you can handle a lot. I've learned that in the last 5 years of being here and helping serve. I've seen a lot of junk hit this ministry. A lot. And it's weathered the storm because it was built on a rock. Because the foundation is sturdy and the winds come and the winds go. And at some point, you just walk in so much favor that you're like Pastor Carl. And when there's storms all the way around the valley and all up and down and it's snowing 15 feet in some places, you just walk outside and you're like, Lord, don't even snow here. And everybody else is calling saying, I've got 2 feet. And we walk outside like, what storm? I'm not joking, am I, Jackie? We walk to the top of that hill and you walk out and it is black clouds and swirling clouds all the way around. And there's just this one spot. Oh, I'm not kidding. Luke 6, 46 and 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. This is very much like the Matthew scripture that is our focus scripture. He just goes into a little more detail. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Man, that picture I showed you guys, that house down there in the Outer Banks, I chose that because, man, a lot of us drive by those houses going, wow, that's a beautiful house. That's a big house. That house costs a lot of money. 3 years from now, that house won't be here. That house will be gone. I've sat and watched as storms rolled in the Outer Banks. I have watched those houses crumble. And when it says the ruin is great, when you watch a $2 million house crumble into the sea, and it just takes minutes for that house to disintegrate, and it just becomes wood. That's what he's talking about here. If your foundation is not built upon the rock, if you have not dug deep and built your foundation into the rock, then when those winds come, when that creek rises, your fall will be great. It won't be small. It won't be little. It will be great. That's Jesus' words, not mine. I'm not making it up. That's in the Word of God. That's truth. He said it. If Jesus Christ said it, I'm standing on it. And I believe that what he says is true. And so my desire is for each and every one of us to make sure that our foundation is built upon a rock. Now, I know there's people in this room whose foundations are strong. And you can use this as encouragement. God is getting ready to build upon you and use you for great and mighty things because you've been faithful to do what he's told you to do. For some of you, this is a challenge. You've been almost trying to build on the rock, or you've laid a couple of stones on the rock, or your house is teetering on top of the rock, but you're not dug deep. Your foundation isn't built into him. That's what he's calling us to do. God's word is an awesome thing. It's an amazing thing. And 2 Timothy tells us in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's the foundation. You have to have your foundation set. If you really are a willing vessel, everybody raised their hand in here. So we have all willing vessels. If you are a willing vessel, that means it's time to make sure that your foundation is set upon the rock because God is ready to use you. He's just waiting on the foundation. Guys, things are getting ready to explode in this ministry. And we need all the willing vessels that we can get. And as my brother Jay is going to be teaching on Wednesday nights about supernatural ministry of helps, we need people who are ready to step into the supernatural realm. And before you can step into that, your foundation better be set. Because if you try to step into the supernatural realm before your foundation is set, Satan will have your number. He will have it. It won't be hard for him. All he'll have to do is look and say, well, that foundation isn't right. Stand on solid ground. Build your house. Man, if you're a mom and a dad and your children are at the age where you can begin to read them the word at night, God, it makes me want to tear up and cry. I called my mom the other day and just thanked her after God gave me this message. Just cried, thanking my mom for being diligent to challenge me as a young boy, to read the word to me as a young boy, to help me set my foundation on a rock as a child. Because if their foundation is set on a rock at a young age, they can't depart from it. So as husbands and wives and mothers and fathers, as I'm reading this, be challenged to teach your kids the Word of God. Read them the Word of God. Lastly, on the Word, before we jump into my last and final point, how many people here have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John completely through? I would challenge you. I read it the other day. That is the life of our Savior. Now, don't get me wrong. This entire book is God-breathed. And there is no page in it more important than another. If it was, he wouldn't have put it in there. But man, as you're trying to know who Christ was so that you can live your life to be like Christ, what a place to start. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and while you're at it, go ahead and jump into Acts so you can see the gift that he sent when he left. But read it. Dive into this word. Get excited about it. This is a good book. I like to read. I've read thousands of books, mostly fiction probably. And I'm telling you what, there is no more exciting book than this one. And I know the ending. There's not. The second thing that the Lord showed me on our foundation was prayer. You can jump straight to 1 Thessalonians. My fingertips are just not working with me today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Pray without ceasing. So funny, every Sunday. Never fails, every Sunday. We feed the kids right before we eat. And if you've been up there with us and you've seen our four kids playing together and running around and having a good time, you know why we feed them before us. Never fails. They start eating. We sit down with our food. And Pastor Carl / Papaw prays. And every single week, one of them turns around and goes, "Papaw, we already prayed." Every week. And he looks over and says, "God told me to pray without ceasing." Okay. Pray without ceasing. That means never stop praying. If things are good and you stop praying, what do you think will happen? They get bad in a hurry. It's like buying a car. You can change your oil and change your oil and change your oil. The day that you stop changing the oil in your car begins to go downhill and eventually will break. In our life, in our spiritual walk, I don't care if you've been praying since you were 10 or 2 and you're 75 or 80. If you stop praying today, it goes downhill. 80 years of praying isn't going to help you in the next 10 years. God wants you to stay in prayer, or he wouldn't have told us, pray without ceasing. Why do we pray without ceasing? That's our communication, our fellowship with the Holy Father. If you stop praying, it's like completely shutting off the conversations with your wife or husband or significant other. If you're a teenager, your parent. Can you imagine the relationship that you would have in your house if you just stopped talking? I've tried it. When I've been angry, I'm just not going to talk. It lasts about like 10 minutes because I can't help but want to communicate with my wife. I get exciting news or something happens and it's like, I can't be angry anymore. I go talk. But that's us with the Holy Spirit. That's us with God. Prayer is our line of communication. And if you stop praying, you might as well have just stopped talking. You just cut off all communication. Now, guess what? You can't get instruction. You can't get instruction. You can't get forewarned. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a quiet time in the morning and gotten goosebumps and felt the Lord just tell me, be ready. Literally, you're praying, you're asking the Lord for guidance, you're praying about the day to come, and man, all of a sudden, it's like you could feel it on you. God was saying, watch out. Be prepared. Be vigilant. Sure enough, man, number of things happen. Car breaks down. Something tries to start a fight between me and my wife right away in that morning. My kids are extra crazy on the way to school. And you're immediately, it just clicks. God warned me. Satan's on my path today. I better be ready. If you don't have communication with God, you can't have a solid foundation because you don't give him opportunity to communicate with you. If you don't talk to your wife, your foundation of marriage isn't going to be great. It's going to be shaky because when things are going on, there's no communication. And we must communicate. That's what prayer is. It's my lifeline. It's like my blood. Without it, I'm dead. I'm spiritually dead. And there's so many of us in the church, in God's whole church, and I know there's some here. God told me there was, or he wouldn't have given me this message. Who are trying to do one or the other, or they're trying to do a little bit and a little bit. And their foundation is shaky. God wants to use you. Not just for little things, not just for small things, not just to be a wife or a husband, not just to be a worker, not just to paint bumpers. That's what I do. God wants you to be a prophet, a teacher, a preacher. He's called you to greater things. He wants to use you to move the kingdom of God. And he's telling you right now, get your foundation prepared so I can build upon it. I want to give you the granite countertops. I want to give you the big chandelier. I want to give you the new windows and the tin roof. I want you to have the four-car garage. In your spiritual life, speaking. But I can't give those things to you if I don't have a foundation to build it upon, because as a master builder, it would be unwise of me to build upon you without your foundation being set. If God tells us that it would be wise of a builder to build upon a solid foundation, he's not going to build on a shaky foundation. He may use you. You may get used in different ways. But until that foundation is solid, until that foundation is ready, you can't be what God has truly called you to be. This building, if Pastor Carl would have walked to the architect and gotten the blueprints and walked over to the construction company and said, I want you to build this building right there on that hill, on top of that rock. Don't worry about the foundation, just build it up there. What do you think that construction company would have said? No! I'm not putting that building up there. First of all, the city's going to come in, and they're going to nail you for a million codes because your foundation is not ready. You know what? Maybe you've had a solid foundation at one point. Maybe you have knowledge of the Word. Maybe at one point your relationship with God was off the hook. But maybe the prayer life's gone silent. Maybe you've forgotten about your word. And a crack has formed in your foundation. Anybody here going to buy a house and there's been a crack in the foundation? I've gone to look at them. I didn't buy it. Because I knew when I saw the crack in the foundation that they weren't going to pass inspection. They wouldn't even let me live in the house if that foundation wasn't fixed. So maybe you're at that point, and you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I know the word, but it's been a long time since I really got in it. And man, I used to have some really great prayer times with God in my closet. Man, it's been a while. And God wants to repair the foundation that has already been set. You don't have to build a whole new one. He'll heal it. He'll repair it. The minute that you open up your word and begin getting back in, the minute that you open your lines of communication with God, boom, done. But for many of us, that foundation has to be set. That foundation has to be tried and true. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things. That requires prayer. Try calling unto God without praying. If you start talking to God, I'm going to tell you you're praying. If you're driving in your car and you're having a conversation with God, guess what that's called? Prayer. I know people who talk out loud to God walking down the street. And they'll tell you, I'm praying. I know people who ride along in their car, windows down, sunroof back, having conversations with God. And if you ask them what they're doing, praying. He can't show you great and mighty things unless you call upon him. Well, it's hard to call upon God if you're not praying. It's hard to do that if there's no relationship with him. For our last scripture here, let's go to Luke 22, 39 and 46. And I'll try to wrap this up. And he came out and went, as he wont, to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down, and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it was drops of blood falling down from the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Let me help you out with what Jesus Christ is about to start right here. The greatest storm that you could ever face. He's about to be arrested. He knows that right now is the time that he's going to be arrested and that he is going to be crucified for all of man's sins. Do you want to talk about going through a storm? Being perfect and sacrificed for us. Knowing that you're about to be beaten, crushed, and then put on a cross and crucified for men's sins. And what did he do before he faced that storm? He prayed. Where did he get strength? When he prayed, an angel came and strengthened him. He was praying. Good luck getting through your storm without praying. Good luck making it through your storm without a solid foundation. Good luck. We went kayaking and canoeing yesterday on these little rivers. And my canoe / kayak doesn't really have a solid foundation. It's pretty tipsy. And all it took was a little bitty rapid to flip me over, throw me against a rock, and then sweep me downstream. And it wasn't even that big a deal. But my foundation wasn't very solid, and so it didn't take much to throw me out of the boat. If your foundation isn't solid, it doesn't take much to shake you. It doesn't take much to get your focus off of Jesus Christ and God and put it back on yourself. God wants a solid foundation because God wants us to be what he has called us to be. God created each of us for a purpose. He has ordained us for a mission. He has planned out a path for us, but he has given us the will to choose whether or not we will allow him to fulfill that mission through us. Some of God's church will reach the full earthly potential and will fulfill the mission God has for them. Some of them will reach our part potential. We'll be content knowing that we're standing on the rock without ever really digging deep. And then some in this world are going to choose to build their house on sand, and it's not going to take long for them to fall. God wants us to have a solid foundation. There might be some of you here today that have not decided where you want to build your house. Maybe you've been surveying the area for a while, but today is the day to make that decision. There is no better time than today to begin building your house on a solid foundation. We are not promised tomorrow. And if you don't build your house on a solid foundation today, your storm might come the minute you walk out that door. Your storm might come when you go to take a left-hand turn onto Route 11, 42. It could happen right there. You could be walking out those doors and God could say it's time. And so today is a perfect opportunity. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we've had to hear your word today, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, for just the privilege of bringing your word today. And Lord, as we pray, Lord, I just ask that you'd begin to search hearts and minds here right now, Father God. Lord, that your spirit would begin to stir, Lord. Lord, I'm just grateful for what you did on the cross for me. And I'm grateful that what you did for me, you did for everyone, Father God. Maybe you're sitting there thinking you're not ready today. You've got some things you like to do before you can make that decision. But God wants you to come as you are. The word tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one who hasn't. He doesn't want you to wait any longer. He has an offer for you. He has a free gift, the gift of heaven. That gift came with a price. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we've all gone astray, each to our own way. But God laid upon his own Son the iniquity of all of us. Every last one of us. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. God doesn't care. He just desires for you to build that foundation today. All it takes is a little bit of faith in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So if you are here today, and you haven't made that decision, today is the day to make that decision. God just wants you to build your rock upon him. Build your foundation upon him so he can make you the man or woman of God that he's created you to be. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you would like to get to know him today and begin building your foundation, just raise your hand. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you're the seer of all hearts, Lord, and that you have a plan in here today. Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity, Father God, to share your word today, to share your word with your people today, Father God, to encourage, to challenge today through your word. Lord, I'm grateful, Father God, that your word is challenging, but that it's truth. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void and that your plan in each and every life in this room will be fulfilled, Father God. If y'all would just stand with me. Just raise your hands. Lord, right now, we just pray supernatural strength, Father God, for those who, Father, are struggling to build that foundation. Lord, that your Spirit would give them the strength through you that they need to dig up the trees, to dig deep, Father God, and to know you, to read your word, to set aside time every day to meet you in prayer, so that that foundation can be strong, so that that foundation isn't just built on the rock, it's built in the rock, Father God, so that what you have planned for each and every life in this place today, Father God, will be fulfilled through you, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again, and I just thank you for everybody who's here. I know it's not a coincidence, Lord. You are a God of order, and I am grateful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.